kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Have a title for us to look at today, and we're calling this teaching, The Church is the Restrainer. The Church is the Restrainer. Maybe a slightly unusual title, but I think as we begin to open this up, we'll begin to understand what the Lord's showing us. And turn with me, if you will, to 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I want us primarily to look at verses 6 and 7. 6 and 7 of 2 Thessalonians. And here the apostle encourages the saints here because they're going through trial and tribulation. A lot of the church members have gone on into glory and they're wondering what's going to happen. Is the church going to survive? Will it stand? When is the Lord coming? A little bit like with us, you know, the same sort of questions sometimes we have in our minds. And listen to what he says here in verses 6 and 7. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness or iniquity is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then it goes on that the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So we clearly know, don't we, that this speaks of the last days, the great apostasy. And the question, of course, we raise is, are we in the times of the great apostasy? Is this the time, the generation that is going to see the fulfillment and the coming of Christ to rule and reign on the earth? But we know that there's some events that are going to take place first before this happens. But I'm calling this teaching today, The Church is the Restrainer, because in the building of his church now, the restoring of his headship over the body of Christ, which we're all in now, those who love the Lord, those who are preparing and overcoming, walking by faith and allowing the Holy Spirit to do that work within us to prepare us as the bride of Christ, we see that God does nothing outside his body. Everything that God is going to do and he is saying and preparing us, he's going to reveal in his body. God never works outside his body. Of course, he saves, and he's saving people by his mercy and grace. But where his teaching and direction and guidance is concerned, he will speak in his body. He will speak through the teachers. He will speak through the prophets. He will speak through the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, because we know that they edify, they build the body of Christ. They are ministries set there in the body. And what the apostle is speaking here to this church in Thessalonica is to encourage them with what they are seeing in their time under persecution. They're seeing all sorts of things happening. And he's telling them that nothing is going to happen and be fulfilled. The lawless one, which is the Antichrist, which he's speaking about, will not come forth. All the while, the church, the overcomers, the first fruits, are still present, restraining and holding it back. We get a clear indication that God is delaying his coming for the church, for his bride at the moment, because the church is the restrainer. And I'm going to explain that a little bit more, what I mean by that. But what we are learning in this is that this restraining that the Spirit is doing in working through his church, working through us, is so that we are ready for the coming of Jesus. Because his heart's desire is that none of us will be left behind when he first comes in the clouds for the overcomers. And so he is holding this for that very purpose. Why do I stress that? Because that is a Father's heart. And that is our Heavenly Father's heart. He wants all of us to come to that degree of perfection. We know what this means, not sinless perfection, but a perfection that is pleasing in his sight. We come to a maturity as to sons for his glory, for what he sees is right. Then he will take that home to himself. And until then, there is the restrainer that is working over the overcomers, the body of Christ. Now, in the context of what we're looking at here, the Great Tribulation will come to the church when she is taken away. Now, we know that the tribulation is 7 years, and it's divided into 3.5 years. There is the tribulation, the first 3.5 years, and the great tribulation is the second 3.5 years. Now, all in that, we don't know when, but we do know that the Antichrist cannot come forth until the overcomers, the church, is raptured, taken into glory. Then God will start to pour out his wrath on the whole earth. In other words, we call it the cup of indignation. And at that point, this cup, which is filling, and it is filling with all the rebellion and the abomination and everything, there will come a point when this cup will overflow. And at the point of overflowing, those who are restraining all of this will be snatched away. We know this because God has promised this in the Church of Philadelphia in Revelation. We know that that church, we have talked on it many, many, many times. It has little strength. It's nothing much to look at in the natural, but it is God's peculiar treasure. But they have remained faithful to the word and to the name of Jesus. And that is the only church where God says he will protect them from the great judgment on the whole earth. None of the other churches have that. So then we begin to get this picture now of what the apostle is saying here to these early Christians, and indeed what these scriptures are saying to us today. I do believe we are in the great apostasy. We are now experiencing the great falling away, and we are seeing the nations turning to paganism. And I don't even think that is debatable anymore. So this is showing us the cup of indignation is at the brink of overflowing. And it will come as it's like it's the final straw. Because God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. And there is a point when God will say, enough. There's going to come a point with us as overcomers when he will see, enough. I have perfected them. I have used this world. I have used everything of this world in which to perfect the overcomers, the first fruits. And he will take us unto himself. Are you finding that there are times you find yourself crying out, Lord, this world at times feels as though it's consuming me. You feel as though it's drawing me under. I can't fight anymore. I'm tired. I'm battle fatigued. Well, take heart, brothers and sisters, because that's good signs. Because that is a sign God is about to move on our behalf. Because he knows how much we can take. He knows that we are flesh. We're dust. But God is going to move heaven and earth to preserve his body that is being perfected, the remnant around the world. And he wants to encourage us today to show that what he's doing, he is the restrainer against all of this. You see, the great apostasy and the man of sin is soon to be revealed, or the man of perdition. Now, we get people to say, who are saying, well, this guy or this politician or this religious leader could be the Antichrist and so on. Well, we don't know. We'll know or have an insight if he is on the scene. You can be assured the Holy Spirit will quicken it to us. But what we do know is that we are the restrainer and we stop him coming forth until the appointed time. Now, looking back here in verses 6 and 7, he says, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. He says, you know what is restraining. He doesn't actually give it in so many words, because God knows those who are called from the foundation of the world and to be a part of this in the last days, they will know what this is referring to. This is why so much of Scripture is revealed to us by revelation. For the mystery of lawlessness or iniquity is already at work. So the apostle, right back 2,000 years ago, saw lawlessness. He saw the mystery of iniquity at work. He discerned it. He tested it. And of course, we see it so much more today. And yet we know that we've got brothers and sisters, those five unwise virgins, they don't have much discernment. They're not preparing themselves for the coming of the Lord. Many of them are not sure whether there will be a rapture or not, or a post-rapture or pre-rapture. There's utter confusion. There's not confusion with the overcomers, the sons of God. They're quite clear. They know what the scriptures say, and they're having the experience in their life and their heart of God getting them ready for his appearing in the clouds. And that is the difference. And he who restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. In other words, that's where we get the idea of the snatching, the catching away. So these two verses show that there is a force and a power in holding back the powers of darkness. In other words, these powers here that will finally hold the world, certainly in the last 3.5 years. So your prayers, your faith, your standing, your believing, your coming together, fellowship, being part of the body of Christ, is holding back all these powers, these forces. That is why the apostle speaks so clearly to us in Ephesians 6 that we know so well, where we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, dominions, and so on. That is what he's referring to. And that is what we stand and oppose. And this is why he wants us to be in prayer, intercession, and warfare. He wants us to be attuned to what is happening in the world so that we can war effectively for the purpose of restraining it or pushing it back. I cannot tell you how many times I have seen in spiritual warfare visions and images of me pushing back powers. It's like a strength and energy that is attached to it. And that is what he's referring to. We are those restrainers. We're holding it at bay for many purposes. Not only that God can work and accomplish his will, but that so we are ready. We come to that place of faith, maturity. And that's why we, the church, are the hindering force or the restrainers. And this is why the enemy hates us. And I'm reminded again of the imagery in Revelation 12 of the man-child and the dragon. Why he's so close to the man-child. Now, many today are utterly confused as to what the man-child, what this imagery is. But it's not to the overcomers. It's not to the bride who's making herself ready. That is clear that in the womb of the woman, which speaks of the church, there is a remnant who's come out of this, going on into faith, perfection, through the working of the Holy Spirit, preserved and kept in the womb, ready to be manifested in the last days as the sons of God. And the dragon is there. His position is right there to try and abort or stop this from happening. But he fails, because when you read it, the son that is born is snatched, caught away. Well, many refer that, they talk of it as Christ. That's speaking of Christ. Well, Christ wasn't snatched or caught away. He went to the cross. And it's not speaking of Israel. The book of Revelation is not to Israel. It is to seven Gentile churches. Only do we find in chapter 7 that it speaks of Israel, the 144,000 who are sealed. And of course, God is going to incorporate his ancient people that he made covenant with. But the book of Revelation is to the church. It's right there in the introduction. And so here we're seeing this great event that's happening. As we are hid at present, preserved and kept. And all of us have come out of the church. This can include denominationalism, because there's still a remnant in denomination or organized church. There's a remnant that's come out. Most of us came out of that because we heard the call to go deeper with God, because you won't go that deep if you remain in those systems. And that's why when the overcomers are caught away, the woman that is left, the church, is then sifted by the Antichrist. She goes through persecution. She's got to go through the fire. We all of us have to go through the fire. And we're going through it now because we choose to go through it. And that's why God is purifying the sons of Levi. And your purifying is your trials, the trials of your faith. Holding on, being faithful to the word, to prayer, to fellowship. All of these things that he asked us to be is to be faithful and endure to the end. It's interesting that some hold that the Holy Spirit is going to be removed at the rapture. The Holy Spirit will be gone. I'm not so sure about that, simply because the woman is left and the Holy Spirit will still work and minister to many of them who will not take the mark of the beast, who will stand against the Antichrist. Even many of them will be martyred. That still takes the Spirit of God. What I think will happen is that when the overcomers are caught away, the baptism of the Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit, which we've received to work and perfect us, will no longer be present. In that sense, because it's done its work, but the Holy Spirit will still save. He will still bring in a remnant, even through the Great Tribulation. And we know that because in Revelation, it speaks about souls who are martyred, who come under the altar. They're coming out of the Great Tribulation. And I still believe that that takes the work of the Holy Spirit. But we have received an anointing, an empowerment of the Holy Spirit to perfect the sons of God for this very work. That is removed. That won't be working as I see it. And I'm very open to be wrong on that, but as I have looked at this and studied this over the years, that's what seems to come to me in my conclusion. You see, the church is the light of the world. It's the light of the world now. This light that is in us is part of the restrainer, holding back the powers of darkness. why we proclaim the gospel. And the gospel goes to the four corners of the earth. But I believe when the church, the overcomers, is raptured, this will greatly diminish. How do we know? Because the Antichrist is going to destroy all Christianity and Judaism as well. Remember, he goes after the Jews, Israel. And that will be diminished. And there will come a time, as the scripture shows, where it will look as though he has succeeded in abolishing all forms of religion and so on. Why am I saying that? Because the restraining force is now removed. It's gone. Let's turn to some more scriptures with regard to what we've been talking about here today. For example, in 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 23. 18 to 23, he says here, "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us." There we are, the endurance staying with it. "But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." This is speaking to us. Can you see the parallel here of what John is writing here that is so evident now to us in these last days? "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." He's revealing to you sonship, first fruits. This is talking about an anointing to prepare the bride for the bridegroom. "I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that it's no lie is of the truth." In other words, he's confirming, he's saying, what I'm writing to you, you do know this. Don't let anybody take it from you. That's why I'm such a believer that the word of God confirms and confirms and confirms. That is the nature of God's word. And anything that cuts across it, that makes you like spiritually put on your brakes, or suddenly you start questioning, you have to wait and seek God. And he's not doing that. He's saying, you know what I'm saying. You know that this is the truth. "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist who denies the Father and the Son." Now, he's not saying here, as what they do, "Well, I don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." There are many that say that. No, it's the wolves in sheep's clothing who do confess the Lord Jesus Christ, who do say they believe in him, but they are not of him because their lives don't walk in accordance to what John is saying that they do. They are not reliable. They don't endure to the end. They're not confessing and holding on to the word and the promises of God. This is what is behind this. "Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. Who acknowledges the Son and has the Father also." He's saying, you can say all the right things. You can appear like this, but you don't have him. He is not your father. And of course, in many ways, this is what Jesus was doing in exposing the Pharisees and the Sadducees and so forth. And this is why they hated him. And he said, you are of your father the devil. Because he could discern it, he could see. And we have it today. There's nothing new under the sun. So this is what John the Apostle is on about here. Let's turn to 2 John and verse 7. 2 John and verse 7, he says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. That is a deceiver and an antichrist. And we have many who don't actually believe in a physical manifestation of the coming of Christ on the earth. Many hold that he's going to come spiritually and that the restoration of this will be in the church, the body. The body will restore the world. The body of Christ will bring back divine order and so forth. And there are many who believe that and preach that. But it ain't scripture. That is the whole point. And 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3. And he says, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. And so he's saying that the spirit of the Antichrist is saying he will be coming. And that is why Israel and a lot of the world will be deceived when he goes into the third tribulation temple that is built by the Jews, and he will pronounce and present himself as their Messiah. And for a while, they're going to believe it and accept it until the two witnesses come and they start to speak out that they have been deceived. And then, of course, all the events completely change and it then starts to become a bloodbath. Can you see now, brothers and sisters, how this is all unfolding? How we are in the time of the great apostasy and that all these events are shortly to happen. But God says at the moment, the church is the restrainer, and it's only going to be for a season. And that is why we must allow the Holy Spirit to do his work, to not hinder in any way, but to let him build through us his body as the bride is making herself ready. He has given all the provisions that is needed for her to make herself ready, to be white and pure, unspotted in his sight. Now, how God is going to do that, I don't know, but I do know that it's not by might nor by power, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord. And of course, what he's looking at is our hearts. Where are our hearts? Where is the affection of our hearts? Where is the motive of our hearts? What is it set upon? Well, it can only be set upon him and him alone. And yes, he tests us in this. And praise God for those tests and trials, because they will tell you you've got an area where you're still not trusting on the Lord, or your heart is not wholly following the Lord as it should be. Here is the great restrainer at work. This is why we have this, so that you and I can be ready for when he comes, and he will not come like a thief to us, but he will come because we will be ready. We will be looking up because our redemption draws near. We are looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. Praise God.
So disaster, let him in constancy fall.